In this week's parsha, the Torah has an issur that we should not go in the chukas hagoyim. So that phrase itself is a difficult phrase to understand exactly what that means. What's the definition of chukas hagoyim? So there is a chuvas marik that the marik, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef, and the Ramah follows it as well. So he says we find in different places in the Chumash Rashi points out that the word choik means something which it doesn't have an explanation. So the actions which the non-Jews do, which don't have a reason, so that's b'chukas ayim lo shaleichu. That's the Ramah. He says there's two criteria of b'chukas ayim lo shaleichu. The first one is an action which doesn't have any reason. So then, if a person is doing something which doesn't have any reason, that indicates that he's in some way trying to be like the goyim, and therefore it's awesome. But if there's a logical reason why they do that, so then it's not awesome. He was specifically talking about the question which he was asked was at the times of the Shiloh which he was dealing with, at the time of the late Rishonim. So the doctors would wear a certain type of a coat, a cloak, to indicate they were a doctor. So the Shiloh was this Jewish doctor allowed to wear this cloak? He's wearing the clothing like the guy. That was the Shiloh. So he says, it's not a problem because the reason why you wear it, even though there's no logic why it's definitely that cloak, but the idea of that you should have a certain type of garment which will then project to people and advertise that you're the doctor and that people should know to come to you, that's a logical thing. So whatever they chose to be, that doesn't make a difference, but there's a logic why you're doing it. You need to be able to clarify and to publicize to people that you're the doctor. It says, look, that does not go into the Yisrael because I am L'Shalecho. Even though it's something which the Goyim do, which, let's say, till that point, no Jewish doctor was doing it, it's something which the Goyim do, so it's like in a certain sense, but it's still mutter according to him. The second thing he says that there's certain clothing, or for example, so he's talking about clothing, so there's certain actions which are inherently not Jewish. For example, the person wants to be a poritz. They used to wear red clothing to draw attention to themselves. So that an act of pritzus of doing something which is very gaudy, loud. In my mind, I picture Liberace with his suit of the gold all over the suit. Right? The whole goal is to draw attention to yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's an act of gaiva. He says an act of he calls it shachat. Shachat is an extraordinary gaiva. And preaches that by definition is a non-Jewish action. Jewish people refrain from these type of actions. The Ram also has that same type of lashon. That's also the second type of issue. So it's not. So there's a reason why they're doing it. It's not illogical. There's a reason why they're doing it. But that reasoning itself is something which is inherently not Jewish, not a Jewish value, not a Jewish system, and therefore that goes into this. That's what the Marik says, that both of these things go under the umbrella of Chukas Hayim Lo Shaleichu. The Vilna Gaon in the Bira Gra there asks. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Marik, the Ramah Paskins like the Marik. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah seem to accept the approach of the Marik, that's the definition. So therefore, any action which a person was doing, which is the real logic behind it, even though it's something which he basically learned from the Goyim, right? But since there's a logic behind it, it's going to be mutter. That's according to the Marik. The Vilna Gaon disagrees. Basically, he has multiple rayas. He has like four or five kashas on this marik from the Gemaras. And the Bira Gra there says, excuse me, that any action which you're learning from the Goyim, even though there's a logic behind it, but if you learn it from the Goyim, that goes into this because in some way you're taking this action from the Goyim. If you come up on your own and you decide to do it, you're not going in the ways of the Goyim. It's a logical thing, and you came up on your own. But if you take it from the Goyim, this approach, so that's going to be a problem. So, for example, the Vilna Gaon, written by one of the Talmidim of the Gra. He makes a list of different things that he saw his Rebbe do and not do, and which were not just happenstance, but there was a reason why he was doing them. One of the things was he would not allow them to bring any type of greenery into the shul for shuls. Why? Because the Gaon says that's what Kosel Emunah Shaleichu. that the goyim would use greenery to beautify their places of worship. So therefore, the Jews doing the same thing is a problem. So the evil is a logic behind it. You want to beautify, it's a beautiful thing, etc. So according to the Marik, it would not be also, but according to the Vilna Gaon, holds that's also.
Is there any sort of boundaries to the Vilna Gaon Shita in terms of where they want to apply, like speaking their language? You know, you come to a country, you learn their language. Like building a house, how it's built. I mean, there's
building a house is interestingly enough. There's a Rambam. The Rambam learns. There's an issue. One of the famous example rushes is teatrios, rikarkasios. So some people translate it as circuses and theaters. The Rambam actually translated it as building a building, which is the shape of the way they build their churches.
In the shape of their churches.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I want to build a building based on the tavnis of their hecholos of their. That's an issue. That's the issue of teatrios, according to Rambam.
Interesting.
Nothing to do with going to sports, you know, stadiums, according to the Rambam. Okay, the Rambam.
But in terms of the Gaon, though,
obviously the Gaon is not saying that you cannot speak the language, but there, for example, there are some poskim which held that the Maram Shik held that a person would give himself a non-Jewish name. He would have Ruchuk Sem Lechu. Historically, Jews only had Jewish names; they didn't have non. So you want to have a Jewish non-Jewish name because you want to be. You're learning that from the Goyim. So the Maram Shik held that it goes in this Ruchuk Sem Lechu. He says you're allowed to translate your name to them because they don't speak Hebrew. You can say, you know, like. Oh, I have a Talmud name, but his name is Baruch. So that's the only name he has. He doesn't have an English name, right? You know, so he goes to work. So he says, "What's your name?" He says, "Baruch." So everybody, Baruch. That's his name. You know, Baruch. You know, okay. You know, you can say, "My name is Blessed." Nowadays, that's a normal name. You know, what's your name, Blessed? You know, my wife had once had a story. She was by a park, and. A little girl playing. I said, "My wife, be friendly with the woman." He says, "You know, what's her name?" He says, "River." Oh yeah, you know that's called normal nowadays to be called River. So you can call Blessed also. But anyway, but you can draft your name and you say, you know, give some type of a translation. But just to take a non-Jewish name according to the Rishik was a problem. The Rambam actually says when he defines the Isser of Chuzay Musalechu, the Rambam puts it under the umbrella of Isser of Avodah Zarah. So he says anything which was became a chayk of their das, even though it wasn't actual, but it became part of their religion. That's the Isser. That's which is why the Rambam has to translate the Isser of Karkasias and Tatrios is not because of mingling with the Goyim. It's because that was some element of being like them in how they build their buildings. The Miri says the Isser. The Miri and the Ran, I said this is actually something which was normally done the Shem of Arizor. See, he's the most makel sheet in a certain sense, and it only applies to something which was done originally in some sense because of a service to Avodah Zarah. So that becomes an Isser B'chukos Eim Musalechu. Even though you're not doing the same Avodah Zarah at all, but that action is prohibited. Interesting enough, someone put the discussion about celebrating Thanksgiving, so Moshe was asked, is it Isser B'chukos Eim Musalechu? So Moshe has multiple tshuvas about it, and there's a contradiction in the tshuvas. The first tshuva we gave out, he said it's mutter, because you're giving praise, and it's not something which is a chayk of the goyim. Later tshuvas, he seems to be machmer, that, you know, says that's mutter, but to eat turkey specifically is a chayk. Why are you eating turkey? So the Jew answers because it's on sale. Right? The reason why you're eating turkey is because the turkey's on sale. Right? So according to the Marik, it might be mutter because you're doing an apoli tam, you're doing it for a reason. But if the person says, you know, we always have a Thanksgiving meal with turkeys, right? So that's going to be, I see my surprise. Right? So that's going to be a problem. So commercial literature actually says to me, Macher, the person should not. If a person happens to be, comes out and eats turkey, not also, but if a person conveys himself to eat turkey on Thanksgiving, he's questioned that it's a problem. Because there's an element of chayk in it. Right? The Miller Zatzal said, if you look into the history of the day, it actually was originally Nikva as a day of service to their Avodah Zarah. And honor of the, it wasn't just a national day of giving thanks, whatever religion you are. It was simply is head on to the Vavadazorim. So it's much more Chomer, he says, and everybody should hold celebrating the day alone. Rabbi Dimila says, that was a problem because of this Miriam that was Chayk to us. Okay. It's interesting, Taz, to give an example, Taz discusses the issue of davening going bareheaded. So he says, the idea of going bareheaded, there's a big discussion in halacha, is that the idea of wearing something in your head, is that a din of the Gemara or not? The Gra himself brings a raya that's not really a din of the Gemara, only the Chacham would cover their heads, everybody else would not cover their heads. There's a Marsha which says, does it mean like that? Okay. But the Taz says, whatever you learn, but nowadays that it became a chayk to the Akum, then they come into the building, they take off their hats, and they leave their head, they make themselves bareheaded. Now it's going to be an issue of their eyes to be inside a house, be bareheaded, because you're doing, because being like the guy. Okay, comes from Russia, Russia says that's because that became the chayk. Nowadays that's not the chayk anymore. The reason why people are bareheaded is not because they made a specific action to do because of the way they respect their vodazor, respect people, etc. It's because it's more comfortable and convenient. That's America, right? The main thing is it's comfortable, convenient. Yes.
They used to wear hats. They don't wear hats anymore.
Right. Saying, so, but Russia says, however, at the time of tefillah, then they're mocked, but they should be bareheaded. So during davening, would be nisa deraisa to be bareheaded. So he says, and therefore he had his halacha l'maisa shayla. Person was davening, his talus fell off of his head, and pulled his yarmulke off. He didn't realize he was on Shemon Esrei. He finished Shemon Esrei. He takes 3 steps back. He realizes he's bareheaded. The Marshal holds that even though it was he didn't realize, but an act of tefillah which is done this while being over this because emes aleichu is an act of a toeva. You're not yet to davening. Wow. He has to daven Shemon Esrei again, Marshal Pascha, because being bareheaded while you're standing in a shul, being bareheaded while you're saying a bracha, being bareheaded, these are chayka. This is a chayka akum. They're bareheaded when they do when they say their prayers.
Does the bracha have the same status as tefillah in that regard?
I would assume according to Rashi it does.
Interesting. There's no bidi of a concept that inside a building you actually do have some covering over your head. It's not direct.
Now, Rav Avadya Yosef has a truth where he disagrees with Moshe. Mm-hmm. He holds that Bidi Yevon, you would be here to davening, because the person was an earnest, he didn't realize, etc. Mm-hmm. Right? But theoretically, that's how far Moshe takes the concept of Chayk Akum in such a situation.
But this is because taking off your head covering for prayer is associated with their religion.
Correct. Well, it's became now an established action where they've been doing specifically a certain way. There's no logic behind it per se, right? That's the chukas of goyim, acting like the goyim. That's an issue of the right, so to do exactly like the goyim do. Why? Because.
Right? Maybe how does this apply to Jewish attempts to impersonate what goyim do? For example, foods, music, gedolim cards, all these things that are basically like, we're going to do the Jewish version of what the goyim are doing. Isn't that, so how does that fit in here?
Okay, so the Jewish version, Rishon LeZion has a tshuva, fascinating tshuva, about making chuppas inside of a shul. So historically, chuppas, the Rambam says chuppas are always made outside, that of chuppas of Shemayim, the Simon Baruchah, not by the Sfarim did it inside, but the historically, by the Ashkenazim, there was always outside. The goyim did it inside of their church. Came along the reform and said, "We want to be like the goyim. We're now going to start making our weddings inside of the shul." So the Ksav Sofer said, "That's an issur d'oraisa." Ramosha says no. Because if we would go and make our weddings inside of churches and talk about but since we make it inside of our shuls, we're not doing the same way the Goyim do it, as Rav Moshe says. So if you make your own Jewish twist to it, Rav Moshe held that wouldn't be called
like a Jewish sports league. Right, that wouldn't be considered like, you know, Yiddish league sports, whatever.
Yiddish league, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yiddish league.
We have our own, you know, sports players.
Right, but again, but something which the purpose of it is not to be like the goyim. According to the Marik, it's more to the Ikrimzak is like the Marik. Many places can pass like the Marik. You're doing it for a reason. You want to get exercise. It's fun. You know, there's that. Rav Moshe was asked about the issue of going to stadiums. Rashi said it's not. He doesn't go into Chutei Mezilei. Goes into Rashi Leitzim. He has other issues, etc. He doesn't hold. Goes into Chutei Mezilei. Because I mean, there's a reason why you're doing it. But there are other examples where you have this. The Rambam says, for example, that the correct place, the way you build the Beis HaKnesses, the Bima is supposed to be Bam, so the Beis HaKnesses looks like the Mizbeach, was pretty much in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. So moving the Bima up to the front, which only started by Ashkenazim, only started because they learned from the Goyim to have the altar up in the front. So again, you have the same problem. That's,
wouldn't that be the Jewish version of what they're
going? So that, because here you're learning exactly how you are doing you're learning how to do this maisa from them. You're doing the exact same maisa they're doing. You're putting in the middle of the place of tefillah. So it's just interesting. Chiluk, think about it.
You know, it's hard to see the difference between that and the wedding.
Yeah, think about it. Okay, there's a. Knock on wood, right? From you, knock on wood.
Yes, I hear it all.
Right. So the truth, there's one. The Jews always say, "Well, that's because they're Muslims." So there's no logic behind it.
Right.
It's something which, you know, why?
Actually, think there's actually
they have a logic. They have the cross.
What? The cross.
The wooden cross.
That's what it is.
Right. Okay. So you know, so he holds it. Goes.
It's fingers crossed. Right.
And that's right. Same issue.
Knock on wood and fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Have the same source for
yeah.
it.
Right. So you have. One of the places was asked nowadays, you clear from the Pesukim and Tanakh that people would daven, they would daven with their hands raised. Nowadays, they would daven with their hands raised. So, one answer to the question is because of Chosei Maisalechu. Nowadays, the Goyim started doing it. So, according to the Gra, that'd be a problem. According to the Marik, wouldn't be a problem. I'm not learning it from the Goyim. I'm learning it from Tanakh. But according to the Gra, that, you know, even according to the Gra, it could be it's mutter. Right, but now they became a chayk dosam. So according to the Rambam, once it's chayk dosam, it's a problem. The same with the idea of matseva, the time of the ovis, the idea of making an altar, which was just one piece of stone, was mutter. And nowadays, the time of the Torah says dosar, because that's what the goyim do. They make matsevas for their sacrifices. Once it's like dosim, it's mamash, what they do for avodah zarah, could be it's also even when you're not learning from the goyim, so that becomes a problem. Okay, we have to stop here. What time is mincha?
We're half minyan short, so we say that time.
Okay. Okay. One more controversial case is a double ring ceremony. So Rosh says, wearing a wedding band, the man wearing a wedding, is not a problem at all. You're wearing it for a logical reason. You want to show that you're married. Like, I had multiple times, even asking the shayla, says, you know, are you allowed to wear, is a problem with being like a woman? He says, no, nowadays it's a normal thing for men to wear rings. It's clear from the Gemara, men wore rings, right? There's a certain ring which is a male, it's made for men. You want to put on a woman's ring, you got a problem. You want to put on a man's ring, you don't have a problem with it, right? And it's, you know, it's much easier work for them. You know, people know that they're married and they stay away, you know. But the Russia says it's not a problem wearing the ring. The problem is the idea that at the moment of the ceremony, to do a double ring ceremony, where'd you get that from? Mm-hmm. He says, you got that from the Chukos HaHakom. Rav Avadia Yosef has a fascinating tshuva where he talks about styles. So a woman will follow the fashion styles. He holds his b'chuzim l'shalechu. You're a beautiful dress. It looks beautiful. What's the problem? Why are you changing? Oh, because it's a new style. Because, you know, that goes into like, it has no logic behind it. You just want to be like the goyim. That according to Marik, that's also because you just do it because the goyim do it. That's it.
Would that apply to automobiles also? You know, the newest model of automobiles or whatever it is?
Usually the newest model of automobiles, the argument is because there's some element of it which makes it better. Mm-hmm. You just change it because you want to be in style.
The dress shirts where the collars get wider and narrower style, and we consequently buy those shirts.
I don't buy that shirt because I read it, because that's the cheapest
selling.
Thing on sale. I'm sorry, you know, like, you know.
Same as turkey.
Right, but I also buy turkey. I just don't use it for Thanksgiving. I buy turkey and I put it away in the freezer. But he says, and then he says, furthermore, according to the other definition, that something which is not sneeze, So if you're following any style and wearing something which is not sneeze, for sure you're already siddurayza because emes aleichu. So a woman wearing a garment, or a man wearing a garment which doesn't really enhance the tzelem alakim of the person, it does the opposite. It brings out the physicality. That's a non-Jewish value. It's not a Jewish value. That's exactly what Marik said. That's the Surbachuzeh. Don't try to be like the Goyim. The Goyim, the Jewish definition of the value system is not like that. So he said that goes into that Isser.
Where does the idea of an engagement ring come from?